John chapter 16, here we go. Like I say, there's just too much stuff in here. I'll do my best not to make them all into sermons, but these things have I spoken unto you that ye should not be offended. I was thinking, I'll take a chance with this. We wonder how apostasy happens. You know what I think forces apostasy? Because here it is, it's about being offended. Should we not be offended? It says, these things have I spoken unto you that ye should not be offended. And what you need to do is look back and see what it is when he says, these things have I spoken. What is he talking about? 14 to 15, remember he's been talking to the disciples, and so he's been talking to them about he's sending them the Comforter. So all this stuff he talks about, the Comforter, the Holy Spirit, the Holy Ghost, we will read more about that, especially in John chapter 16. But he's saying that these things, he told us these things, or told the disciples these things, because they're about to enter into some serious persecution. Now, I just recognized this week, that you know we see the tribulation coming up for them, and if they dropped in the Paul thing. But you know what happened before Paul to the disciples? He's warning them about persecution, trials, horrible days, the whole kind of thing. And we know that the tribulation follows when the Lord. We know all that. But there's something I've been leaving out, and I just recognized this week, and I've been leaving out the Great Commission. Remember, we got the Great Commission, then you got Paul. So you got the Gospels, I'll go the right direction. We got the Gospels, then we got the tribulation, because they have to get the tribulation on each promise they were going to have for what they did to him and rejection of his word. So we've always thrown in Paul, and Paul does fit between there because he goes to Paul. But he goes to the Great Tribulation still. They still do what they were told to do. Go out to the world and teach people what Jesus taught them, and that's the signs, miracles, wonders, and all that stuff. So that takes place. Then we got Paul. Then we got the tribulation. That's the official tribulation. So when we're reading in the Gospels about Jesus says there's going to be great tribulation and persecution, our mind instantly goes to the tribulation, because if it wasn't for Paul, that would have come next. But there's still the Great Commission in there. Right? And if we read Acts chapter 1 through 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, especially chapters 4, 5, and 6, they go through some great punishment. I mean, they're arrested, they're challenged, they're beat, their whole thing. So they have their punishment coming. They still have a tribulation coming. So when we're reading here, and Jesus is telling them, you guys are going to have some serious persecution, and I'm giving you the Comforter to help you through this thing so you won't be offended. It's not the tribulation yet. It's still just talking about the Great Commission. Does that make sense? The Great Commission, it was a very difficult time for them. So, with that in mind, what is it that brings this persecution on them? Truth. Just truth. And yes, it's about the Father, it's about God, it's about Jesus Christ. We know all those things, all the details of it, but bottom line, it's about truth. And people didn't want truth. So they persecute the apostles, the disciples, and all the things that take place. Then comes Paul and the Comforter given to the Gentiles and Jews if they trust the Lord as their Savior, not because they're circumcised. And after that, he takes the Gentiles out when he's done as such, and then here comes a great tribulation. So, the Comforter will be upon them during the tribulation because they'll have to walk in the flesh. So yeah, they have to have that sort of a thing. So it's truth. What's going to make everybody so mad in the tribulation? Truth. Just truth. Moses and Elijah, what are they going to be saying? Truth. They're not going to be insulting them and making them mad. They're not going to be picking at them like everybody thinks we do. It's just truth. It's just truth. So what is it that these days is going to be bringing about this apostasy that everybody says that is taking place? Truth. So if this apostasy is going to continue, which it is, the Bible says it's going to, are we going to be able to withstand that? Here, in our little church. Who are we? No. So what's going to eventually drive everybody away? Well, you. No. It's possibly me, but it's not everybody. Some of you folks are just, you're going to stay here till, I mean, you're not leaving no matter what I say to you. Unless you die. That could interfere some things. Truth can still make you mad. Plain and simple, Bible truth can still make everybody in here mad enough that you would still quit, because we're in apostasy. Truth is what will shut down this church eventually. Gossip, hurt feelings, personality, call it what you want, that isn't what's making people mad. It's truth. It's how you deliver it. Fine, I'll take the blame, but it's truth. It's your looks. Okay, I can understand that, but you're only basing my looks on truth, whatever a perfect person says. So whatever it is that makes people mad is still going to be truth. And what he says right here, these things have I spoken unto you, that ye should not be offended. So these folks are going to go out there and they're going to teach the truth. And they cannot be offended because they're going to have the comforter. And that's what he's talking about. So, does that make sense? Everybody here is susceptible, is that the right, susceptible to truth making you mad and getting you offended. And why don't sometimes I preach some of the things I really think I'm afraid to offend people, believe it or not. I don't want to drive people, but you know, truth is going to do it. Truth is going to do it. If we look at it, Psalm 119 says, "A great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them." Well, that's the law. They wouldn't have been upset, but Paul came along, and he told how this risen Jesus took care of the law. And what were they? They were offended. Why would they be so offended? Because Christ has taken care of the law, and et cetera, et cetera. So now what do we have here? We have a King James. Doesn't know it's daylight savings time now? We have a Bible. Is the Bible the law? No, the Bible is not the law. The Bible has the law in it. Then it has the Great Commission in it. And it has Paul's marvelous teachings about the risen Savior. Then you've got the tribulation. It's all there. And it's there with what? Spirit of God. Well, that guy is just aiming. The Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of God is behind this book. And we have that Spirit of God put into us. And what should we never be? We should never be offended. We should just never be offended. Even if it's not truth, it shouldn't offend us because we know what it is. We know it's not truth. We know it's gainsayers. We know it's people with destitute minds. We know it's people that are weak in the faith. We know it's people that got personality quirks. We know it's people that got feeble-mindedness. We know it's people that got more money than others. We know it's people that got less money than others. We know it's people that like Obama, and some people don't like Obama. Nothing should offend us because we have the complete Word of God, and we have the Comforter. And we should be able to go to this thing every time. Every time. And that's what my lesson is for this morning. We will dismiss and have breakfast. Don't you wish? He says here, "Howbeit for this cause I obtained mercy, that in me first Jesus Christ might show forth all long-suffering." You know what long-suffering will do? It will keep us from being offended. And he says, "It's for a pattern to them which should hereafter believe on him to life everlasting. And the peace of God which passeth all understanding should keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus." Where's the peace of God? It's through learning Paul's teachings. "Those things which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in me do, and the God of peace shall be with you." We follow Paul's teachings, we will not be offended at anything. Shouldn't be. And what if something comes along that is just so rotten that like it's an offense, it's just coming. You just can't be around it. You just can't be there. Well, what does Paul teach? Grace, mercy, long-suffering, patience, prayer, tears. Then what? What does he say? Avoid. Have from such withdraw. Have no company with. There comes a time where if it's actually that bad of a thing, which it is getting to be, I mean, come on. How can we put up with all this stuff? It's pretty hard, and it's going to be really hard very soon, I believe. Then we need to step aside. Avoid it. If this church becomes such that you can't put up with the teaching here, then yeah, you need to avoid it. But in a case like that, you're avoiding Paul. You're avoiding the risen Savior. Baffles me. So, that whole thing where he starts off with should not be offended is how we should be. But not because of gospel teachings, but because of Paul's teachings and this Word of God and the Comforter which we have in us, Romans chapter 8, verse 8. Okay, verse 2. There's a bunch of mini sermons in this chapter here the next couple days here. "They shall put you out of the synagogues. Yea, the time cometh that whosoever killeth you will think that he doeth God's service." So again, they had hard times coming, and they were going to be persecuted, and they're going to have some challenges, and they're going to do it in God's name, which is what even takes place today still. But we have to remember, A, we don't have to be in synagogues. So why would we go to the gospel? Well, what about, we call them churches today and tabernacles and things. Well, we'll get to that in a couple of minutes. But we have to remember this. We don't have to worry about God's wrath. Ephesians. Or Romans. Because the law worketh wrath. Because if you break the law, you got God's wrath coming. Okay, remember we said last week. No wrath, no advocate, no accuser. No law. There we go. No law, no accuser, no advocate. So what does that mean? No wrath. Now there's another way to explain to people, well, you just think Jesus checks your name and you're not going to have to suffer through wrath? Why? Because you're such a good Christian? No, because Christ took care of the law, he walked the law, he fulfilled the law, and then he took sin upon himself, and he took all that and he paid for the whole thing, and now he imputes to us his righteousness, which is without sin. So our soul and the spirit we have is the spirit of God, so our soul is clean, and there's no law to get us arrested. And we won't go through that in detail, but let's just add to that, because there is no law, there is no advocate, need for an advocate, there is no accuser, then there is also no wrath. All right. So once Obama gets elected next week, boom, rapture. No, not at all. Not necessarily at all. Look at Proverbs chapter 1. What is wrong with us thinking that all that's taking place in our country is exactly what we deserve? It isn't God's wrath yet. We know we're not going to be here for God's wrath. It's going to take us a month to get through John chapter 16, I can already tell. Why do we think this is going to be God's wrath all of a sudden? Why can't America just reap what it sowed over time? We'll get into a history lesson today. But I do like this, as much as I hate to say it, Proverbs chapter 1, verse 23. Here's what he says to his people in those days. Why wouldn't it be effective today? Turn you at my reproof. Behold, I will pour out my spirit unto you. Which is what he's done. His spirit is in us, and the tribulation will be upon them. Stretched out my hand, and no man regarded. What has God done to this to people? He's given us his words printed, written down in a book, and there it is. He is putting it all out on the table. There it is. Boom, right there. No prophets, no guys that you have to think if they're of God or not. I mean, there's the book right there. And he says, but ye have said it not all my counsel, and with none of my reproof. Wouldn't listen. I also will laugh at your calamity. I will mock when your fear cometh. When your fear cometh as desolation, and your destruction cometh as a whirlwind, when distress and anguish cometh upon you, which it does, read the Old Testament there, then shall they call upon me, but I will not answer. What happens in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2? They have refused God so much. What does he do? He sends the delusion that they'll believe a lie. Sometimes I wonder if Obama's not Mr. Delusion. They're believing his lies. But it doesn't say that it's the person that's coming in that case. It says, I will not answer. They shall seek me early, but they shall not find me. Why can't they find him? They can't find the King James Bible. There's a famine. Amos chapter 8, verse 11 through 13. But is that what we're seeing taking place today? What do you have in your hands? You have King James Bible. What we got a couple hundred or so listeners out there. What do they have? King James Bible. There's no famine yet. It's hard to get. And most people don't want one. So if they don't want one, they're going to become less and less available, because if it doesn't sell, they won't print them. So there's that to look at. Is it the famine time? No. Maybe it's just we're just reaping what we sowed. As Christians even. This modern Christianity is starting to become folly to people. Why? Because it isn't real. And it isn't real. God doesn't have to honor his words in the Gospels to us today. So why would people get so upset? They're being taught a lie. So what's taking place? It says, for that they hated knowledge. How many of you, listen, here we go. This is a good place to put it in. How many of you this week, after I said what I said about the media, evil communications, went and taught your kids some movies, or you movies, or went someplace, or bought some, or ordered some? See, do we even want knowledge ourselves? Are we just as guilty as these people out there that are into this modern stuff? Listen, how many of you went up and adults, not your children, how many of you adults went and said, I don't believe that about subliminal stuff? Let me type in subliminal thing and let me see some examples of the subliminal. Do I need to show you the subliminal things that are in the movies that our kids are watching and our cartoons? Do I need to pull back some of the old movies? You know, back in those days, they were worse. It was worse. It was much more gross. Why? Because now it's out in the open. See? So, do we want knowledge? Do we even want what God's trying to tell us? It says, for that they hated knowledge and did not choose the fear of the Lord, they would not of my counsel. What do we do listening to them? They despised all my reproof. What's one of the four things you get out of the King James Bible? Reproof. Doctrine, reproof, correction, instruction, and righteousness. So do we despise the reproof that's in that book? Therefore shall they eat of the fruit of their own way, there we go, and be filled with their own devices. What do you do when you get tired of your kids? They get old enough and you get tired of them. You finally give up and you let them do what they want, you let them eat what they want, go where they want, buy what they want. You finally give up and say, hey, I've been trying to teach you for 20 years or 18 years or 15 years or whatever. Go ahead. God says, listen, I've been trying to help you. I've been trying to show you. I've come down on this earth myself. I've given myself a lamb, and I'm the lamb itself. And I've given you this. I've given you Paul. I've given you Stephen and Peter, and now it's Paul directly to you. And I had this thing all put in a book. And what else do you want me to do for you folks? And he says, I'm going to let you have what you want. That's what's happening here. And did not, okay, and therefore shall they eat of the fruit of their own way and be filled with their own devices. So what's happening in America, I think, is that God just letting us have what we want. He's not going to step up. Remember that Paul teaches, he's not going to step up to the plate. He's going to let us do what we want. And that's just, well, I'll do all right because I know how to do business. Right. What if they take away our dollar? What if they take away this? What if they do that? Well, it's for the better. You know? No. And why doesn't God step up if it's not right? God's not going to step up. What's the tribulation all about? Letting everybody have what they want. Plus a few mountains exploding, plus a few tsunamis, plus a few earthquakes, and plus a few other things that God does have everything to do with. Pretty serious things are going to be taking place. Moon kind of changes a little bit, and the sun's a little different, and all that kind of stuff. What's going to happen here? But that's not happening now. Why won't it happen now? Well, we're here. I know that sounds really arrogant, but people ought to be thankful for the King James, the Bible, believe in Paul, following rightly divided people, because we still have the truth to tell people. We're not the truth, but we have the truth to tell people. If you look at Romans chapter 10, verse, I think it's around 14 or 15, he says, how are they going to hear if somebody doesn't tell them? I think one of the biggest disappointments we're going to find out when we get to be of the Lord is he's going to say, King James Bible, right? Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. And he's going to say, well, what'd you do with it? Oh, I read that thing. Boy, I read that thing. I could rightly divide that thing, right? And he's going to say, well, what'd you do with it? Well, I put on more clothes and I quit doing some stuff. And yeah, but who'd you tell? Well, nobody wanted to listen. Who'd you try to tell? Well, after a while, I kind of gave up. Why is that? Haba, haba, haba. We're going to have no excuse. So this is serious stuff, what we see taking place today. I mean, I'm not going to be scared. I'm going to try not to be scared, because that's not of God, to have that fear. But I'm not happy with my life changing. I'm not thrilled about that. And the thing that frustrates me is we should know better. But America doesn't. People are getting ready to believe a lie, and they're already believing one. Okay. Verse 3. Well, that's only verse 3. We will never get there between now and you and the rapture. And these things will they do unto you. What is this? Well, here we go. Because they have not known the Father, nor me. Again, we see another attack on his deity, and different Bibles will change that, but there's a reference to the fact that they don't know the Father nor me. If we look at Romans chapter 1, that we see that there comes a time that we're already there, where they don't even want to know God. It says, because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God. We get to Paul. Paul says, listen, you guys, you're worshiping an unknown God. You have no idea who God is, what this church people, you know, you've got people from us talking to you, you've got people from another church talking to you, you've got some other people that are showing a horrible example, you've got people in here with some bad examples, people out there trying to tell you things. You don't know what to do. Why? Is that God's fault? He gave us a Bible. Yeah, but there's 300 different Bibles. You think God's behind all these 300 different Bibles and they all say different things? Don't you think that, is God a liar? Well, no. God said he's going to preserve his word. Where is his word that he's preserved? If you want to know God, if you want to worship an unknown God, find those words that he said he would preserve from generation to generation. I like that. God says he'll preserve his words, and the devil says he'll pervert his words. There's a switch in there. So they don't know the Father, and they don't know Jesus himself. Now, here's my question. Everybody that says they know Jesus Christ as their Savior, and they say they're born again, or they say that they've trusted whatever, well, why is it that they're just as guilty when they say, well, they don't know God because they don't know about the risen Jesus? Tell me some things about give me some facts about the risen Jesus. Well, he's alive. Well, yeah, oh yeah, but what did he do? Well, he saved me. Well, how did he save you? Well, he just did. No, there's some specific things you can learn from Paul's preaching that tells you what this risen Savior did. Well, I know, it's in John. It's in the book of John. Well, yeah, but see, the book of John was not the risen Savior. Those are teachings from the earthly Jesus. Those weren't even being taught to you. Really? I never thought about that. Well, that happens a lot. So, where's the risen Jesus? Well, the risen Jesus, he's the one that went to Paul. Yeah, that's right. And he's the one that told Paul what to teach the Gentiles. That's right. You're getting it. So, I've been reading all these other things. No wonder I'm so confused and so upset and don't like Christianity. No wonder I don't like what people are saying and teaching. Wow, that just makes total sense. And this risen Savior is in Paul's books? Yeah. Wow, that's exciting. What about Revelation? That's tribulation. Well, what about Peter? Because Peter, no, that's tribulation. And it starts to come together with people. And yet we see that they're talking, that they are going to have these things they will do unto you. They're going to have some hard times. Look at verse 4. Terrible hard times coming up here for these folks. We're not even talking tribulation yet. But these things have I told you, that when the time shall come, you may remember that I told you of them. And these things I said not unto you at the beginning, because I was with you. Does that make sense? I didn't have to tell you then, because I was there. Just follow me. That's all he said, just follow me. But now that I'm leaving, he says, I got to tell you these things, because I want you to know that I told you. You may remember that I told you of them. Don't go through this great commission, and don't go through all this persecution and trials and suffering and think I didn't try to tell you. That's what he's saying. Okay? We have a King James Bible. We have no excuse. Ready to divide that thing, understand what's written to, and all those sorts of things. We have no excuse. Let's look at Romans 10 just for a second. Romans chapter 10. Will there be other people that will be without excuse? Well, he says, I've given you my word, so there it is. But Romans chapter 10, verse 13, there it is. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? A pastor? No, preacher. You all can preach. So, well, that'd be pretty sad if we don't tell somebody. How about in 2 Timothy chapter 4? Doesn't he talk about those that have itching ears and they don't want to hear sound doctrine? What about those in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 that are going to believe a lie? Every one of those folks have had a King James Bible available to them. God has not kept this King James Bible from anybody. What about foreign languages and things? What about foreign languages before they had a Bible? That's kind of a weak excuse in some way. We'll talk about that another day. I understand why people would ask that, but listen, you're not into that situation. Don't worry about it. Verse 5, but now I go my way to him that sent me. Here it is again. And none of you asketh me, whither goest thou? You know, here we are again. We have Christians today who know about Jesus. We know about his death and his resurrection. And he's going to come back. Ask him, where did he go? Well, he's in my heart. Okay, by faith. But where's he at? Where's he at? Where did he go? Well, doing your reading at all, we find out he went to the right hand of God the Father Almighty. I think that's my Apostles' Creed I just quoted. I believe in God the Father, Maker of Heaven. I think I just quoted the wrong thing, didn't I? Anyway, he's in the right hand of God. He's the righteousness of God the whole. We've been through that before. Okay, so he went there. Then what? Well, he went to Paul, didn't he? Galatians chapter 1, Ephesians chapter 3, 2 Corinthians chapter 12. Really? Yeah, that's where he went. So why don't people ask, whither goest thou? They didn't ask him that. He said, listen, I'm going to leave. I have to leave you the comforter. You're going to go through some horrible times. I want to tell you all about it, and I'll give you the comfort to get through this thing. I've got to go. Is anybody going to ask me where I'm going? You know, if I came in here this morning and walked up here and said, hey, I'm leaving, I chances are people would go, phew. But wouldn't anybody want to know where I'm going? I mean, here's our Savior to these people and the Messiah, and he's leaving them. And he says, none of you asketh me, whither goest thou? The other verse is Romans 16:25. I could not think of that thing. Verse 6, here we go. But because I have said these things unto you, sorrow hath filled your heart. What things has he said? Okay, let's go back to that. Goes back, talks about the comforter. He has to leave. The comforter is going to be, he's going to give them the comforter. You're going to go through some persecution, some trials and suffering. Oh, Lord, we don't want to do that. Our sorrow fills our heart. Well, see, we don't have to worry about the tribulation, right? Don't have to worry about the suffering that the apostles went through, the disciples went, apostles went through during the Great Commission and the other people. Don't have to worry about that stuff. Don't have to worry about God's wrath. So why are we having sorrow in our heart? Why are we having sorrow and fear? We've got a Bible. So far, we still have a Bible. You really think they're going to take it away? I'm not so sure they're going to take it away if people are just going to keep walking away from it more and more and more. And you're not going to pass it on to your kids because your kids aren't interested with what they're seeing. It's almost like how many millions are going to disappear at the rapture? Probably not very many. By the time that rapture wraps, it may not be that many Christians really Christians. They might just be deceived into another Jesus that Paul warns about. And there might not many be Bibles in, might not be many Bibles anywhere, real Bibles, because we don't have the money to buy a bunch of them and give them out to people. And they're probably tired of it. The kids don't want it when they get older. And they haven't heard all the arguments for it. And we haven't taught them how to do that. We wanted to go through that history of the Bible thing. And that kind of fizzled over time. It took a long time. And we had to kind of study and teach and answer fill in blanks. That kind of fizzled out. And what do our kids know about this King James Bible? Do they know where it came from? Do they know some of the history? Or are they going to be deceived of this other stuff that's going on? It can happen. It can happen. Our kids can get a doubt about this King James, because everybody that's got one is miserable. That's what they see out of a King James Bible. The testimony of a King James Bible-believing, Paul-following, rightly dividing person, more and more, is not a good testimony. Young people don't want that. So, this sorrow is a very sorrowful thing. But we got a Bible. We ought to be able to stand on that thing the way things are coming. Things are getting hard. It says here in Timothy, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. And it says will not. It doesn't say cannot. It says will not. It's a choice they're making. They could, but they won't. And again, what's going to drive people away? What's going to eventually take this church down? Truth. Why? Because they don't want it. It's not because they can't handle it. They just don't want it. Why don't they want it? They probably can't handle it, but it's still a choice they make. Look at Acts chapter 7, verse 54. Here's an example of why there's sorrow in our hearts over these things. Well, we know that they're going to take away our water rights, and they're going to take away the land. We know it's coming. We just know what's coming. They're going to take all the big bucks people and give it to all the little. I heard a thing the other day on a news piece where a lady was so thrilled about an Obama rally she went to, And she came out of there and talked to a reporter, and she said, "I am so thrilled, I can't believe this. I'm not going to have to buy gas anymore, and I want to pay for my mortgage." And it's like, oh, lady. that's why people are voting for this guy. I guess. I can't talk politics. I sure can. Acts 7:54, when they heard these things, they were cut to the heart and gnashed on him with their teeth. Who's this? This is Stephen. So Stephen gives them the truth, and they go after the poor guy. Keep going. But he, being full of the Holy Ghost, looked up steadfastly into heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing on the right hand of God, and said, "Behold, I see the heavens opened and the Son of Man standing on the right hand of God." There you go. Then they cried out with a loud voice and stopped their ears. That's a choice they're making. And ran upon him with one accord. This is a crazy thing, but I was thinking here. You know, a lot of people that quit. Remember Herod and Pilate? They were enemies until Jesus came along. And he made them friends. Remember that whole story in there? Do you know how many people have come together because of this Bible? And they get mad and they quit? It goes back a number of years. Some folks are brought back. Marriages are reconciled again because they get mad and leave. And families come back together again. Oh, we're such a healer church here. Come here, we'll make you mad. You can be mad at home if you want. Come here for a while, we'll make you so mad here that you go back home and you all unify together with your hatred. I see that. This is an amazing thing to me. And this is what we're seeing here. They cried out with a loud voice and stopped their ears and ran upon him with one accord. They all got together after this one guy right there. Well, good for them. They got together on something. And cast him out of the city and stoned him. And the witnesses laid down their clothes at a young man's feet whose name was Saul, soon to be Paul. Another one here. Look at Acts chapter 17, verse 32. Acts 17, verse 32. What Jesus told those disciples was truth, and they had sorrow fill their hearts. What we're hearing out of this King James rightly divided Bible is truth, and it bothers people. It says here, Acts 17, verse 32, and when they heard of the resurrection of the dead, that's what Paul was preaching. Some mocked. Look at Acts 21. Acts 21, verse 30. Acts 21, verse 30. And all the city was moved. Good job, Paul. Got the whole city stirred. And the people ran together. And they took Paul and drew him out of the temple. And forthwith the doors were shut. And as they went about to kill him. How can this be? I went through my thesaurus the other day. And here we go. Here's what's going on with people even today, to this day, about Paul, about the risen Savior, about rightly dividing a King James Bible, other Bibles not being true, and the answer is not in church. God is not in this church. God is in our hearts. God is in us through the Holy Ghost, etc., etc., etc. Here's some words for you. Beguiled, befuddled, bewitched, becharmed, hoodwinked, cheated, lied to. This is how they believe. Enamored, flattered, fooled, entertained, diverted, distracted, taken in, misled, deceived, duped, bamboozled. That's in there. Actually, is in there. Taken for a ride is in there. This is what's happening to people. And befooled. I think I said befooled once, didn't I? Befuddled. I like these thesauruses. I mean, they just got more words than I even have in my whole brain. But this is what's happening. And this can happen to us, too, if with what we know is coming or believe is coming, and we let it put sorrow in our hearts. We cannot have favor with all people. We just can't. It's not going to happen. How did Obama get all this favor with all these people? By not saying anything. And they're being tricked. How can we have this sorrow in our hearts? Because we want what we want, and we have to realize that truth, which is thy word is truth, is going to bring on apostasy. And we can't let that put sorrow in our hearts. We just can't let it happen. Things that are going on in your life, I guess, if there's truth involved, then you can't let it get to you. Because it is going to take us down. The new America is not going to be thrilled with King James Bible Church of Tushy. I never get that right. Well, they're not going to be thrilled with this place. They're not going to be thrilled with our website. That website can't continue with all the restrictions they're putting on. Talk radio is going to go down. We know all these things are going to happen. Why do we think it's not going to happen to us here? How are we going to eat? How are you going to feed this guy? How are you going to feed your kids? We just can't let that sorrow get to us, though. Why not? We don't have to worry about God's wrath. There's no law. There's no wrath. We might have to suffer with a nation that's rejected God. Why has a nation rejected God? Maybe we have something to do with that. Not personally, but just the King James guys over all these years. What are the King James preachers doing today? They're giving in. They're trying to get all that favor with people because they want to survive. Oh, we're putting survival over truth. Well, it's a hard thing to fight. Survival is pretty important. I understand that. It's a very important thing. But do we compromise and do we quit saying the truth? And do we turn the truth up? How do we do this? What would Paul have us do? All we want to do is tell people about the risen Savior. That's all it is. Why is that so bad? The only way that you're going to hear about the risen Savior is through Paul. The only way you're going to get Paul's truth is through a King James Bible. What does Paul teach? He teaches us a marvelous doctrine. Then he teaches us, you know what? You ought to quit doing movies. You know what? You ought to put on some clothes. You know what? You ought to not be so loud and noisy when you come into your room. You know what? You ought to, what is that? That's just stuff that pleases God. That's all. And if we say that we want to be thankful for what God has done for us, these are how we return thanks, by our walk. Well, everybody's got flesh problems. You got issues. Yeah, I know that. But there's no law to make that a sin. So let's just have some of that grace and mercy and peace and let's get on with stuff. That's okay. But who's Jesus? He comes with grace and truth. We can't just go with grace. That's what a lot of these Paul churches, they're just going with grace. Read some more this morning. And we certainly can't go with just the truth, guys, because the truth needs a little grace. Or they choke. I've got somebody who wrote me an email, and I know it's from a charismatic church. I know she's in this Pentecostal stuff. She doesn't like the music. Why hasn't God revealed to him the problem with this music? And he's a friend of Benny Hinn. Well, you know, where are we going to go with that thing? For once, I did not slap a whole sermon down that would just tear him into bits. I put a one tiny little question and a statement and left it at that. And you know what I got? I got a nibble. But it's not time to yank yet. I remember seeing everybody, whacko! And out goes the mouth and the guts and everything. Whenever I would do that on a little crappie, you don't do that with little, this is a big fish to me, and they're all big fish, and so I'm going to try to take this one little step at a time. But there still has to be truth there. I believe I know where it's going to go, but anyway. Well, we just get back on track here. Verse 7, we've got time. Yep, verse 7. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you. Okay, there it is again. If he didn't go away, we wouldn't have the Comforter. Okay, so he went away. So why teach what he was teaching when he hadn't gone away? Let's teach and preach what he tells people now that he's gone away. Well, that's through Paul. Galatians chapter 1, Ephesians chapter 3, Romans chapter 16, 2 Corinthians chapter 12 is when he meets with Paul face to face, and then Paul teaches us and tells us to follow Paul as he follows Christ, the risen Christ. It's as obvious as who not to vote for. So he says he sends the Comforter. What do we have? Romans chapter 8, verse 9, but you're not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Well, then we've got the Spirit of God. So we have that Comforter that Christ said he was going to send. He sent it to them because they had the Great Commission coming up. Paul reiterates that we get that Holy Ghost, that Holy is the Spirit of Christ, because of our faith and trust in him. Not because of any baptism. Okay, let's we'll stop there. Well, I thought we'd get further than that. Whew, to do here. Because the next thing's got like three verses right in a row. We'll take a break right there.